You are listening to teaching from Castle Hills Christian Church in San Antonio, Texas. More information about Castle Hills Christian Church is available at chccsa.com.
Good morning, CHCC. May tends to be the season of dreams. There's lots and lots of graduations, whether that's high school or whether that's college. Football fields and auditoriums filled up with people. Caps and gowns, diplomas given. Lots and lots of pictures are being taken. Graduation parties. And it's during this time that we hear graduation speeches. And we hear a lot of dreams being talked about. Some graduates know exactly what they want to do next, and some are trying to figure it out. But almost all of them are carrying some kind of dream. Maybe it's a career they hope to build. Maybe it's a life they want to live. Maybe it's a sense that God has something meaningful ahead in their life. What often doesn't get talked about on graduation day is that no one hands out a map for how the dream actually happens. No one talks about the delays, the disappointments, the detours, the seasons where the dreams feel farther away than when you first imagine it. At graduation, this season is full of promise, but life has a way at testing those promises. And we're going to see in Genesis chapter 37 that God gives dreams, clear dreams. But what happens next is not applause. It's betrayal. It's a pit. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to talk about Joseph the dreamer. And Joseph gets more airtime than anyone else in Genesis, which is saying a lot considering there's stories about Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And this story reminds us that sometimes the moment that God gives the dream is very different from the way that God fulfills the dream. We see that Joseph is about 17 years old. He's also a tattletale, and he's out tending the sheep, and he gives his father a bad report on his brothers. And when we look at that word or Hebrew, bad report, it can actually mean exaggeration or even a lie. And so, of course, his brothers aren't very fond of getting a bad report from their younger brother. We also see that Joseph is favored. It says that Jacob, in verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. A special robe. When I was growing up, we called it the coat of many colors. It was an ornate robe. The Hebrew gives us an idea that it was a long sleeve, and it extended to Joseph's ankles. And you might say, okay, big deal. But tunics worn by working men in that day were normally sleeveless and stopped at the knees. A long sleeve tailor garment was worn by a manager, someone who had been put in charge. And so we see that this coat was a symbol of position. And so when Joseph's brothers see him with that coat, it was a sign their father's choice was to make Joseph over them. And so we see also that Joseph has two dreams. Verse 7, it says, "We were out in the field and tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." So that's the first dream. The second dream, verse 9, so soon Joseph had another dream. And again, he told his brothers, "Listen, I had another dream. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed low before me." And these dreams were not random. They were from God. They point toward leadership and authority. But these dreams create tension. If you keep on reading, or if you read this story, you're going to see that the brothers already resented him because of his coat of many colors, for being a little tattletale, for being dad's favorite. And then he has these dreams that say that they're going to be bowing down to him. And so we're going to see the word hate used several times in this passage. Verse 4, it says, "But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word about him." Verse 8, it says, "His brothers responded, 'So you think that you'll be our king, do you? Do you actually think you'll reign over us?' They hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them." Verse 10, "The time he told the dream about his father to his father as well as his brothers, but his father scolded him," which is a big deal because his father normally, I get the sense that his father loved him so much he was pretty spoiled, but for his father to say something, it was probably a big deal. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But his brothers were jealous of Joseph, and his father wondered what the dreams meant. Joseph's brothers were taking care of the flocks out in Shechem, and they had gone there for a while, had been gone for a while, and so Jacob sends Joseph out to check on them. And Joseph can't find them, but then he's told that they moved to Dothan. In verse 18, it says, "When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him." "Here comes the dreamer," they said. Notice they didn't call him by his name. They called him the dreamer. And they define him by what they resent. And Joseph, in honesty, has some maturing to do. And Joseph was not very sensitive to tell his brothers about his dream. And he comes off as arrogant, maybe a little prideful. And dude, you need to read the room. Like, this is not going over well, especially after the first dream. And then you go back and tell him the second dream. And as I pointed out, even his dad was kind of pondered, like, what in the world is going on here? And just a word of caution, be careful about who you share your dreams with. Not everyone's going to celebrate the dream that God gives you. And sometimes the people closest to you is going to struggle most with what God is doing in your life. I would also encourage you to hold your dream with humility. Be open to feedback. Be open to wisdom. But also realize that not everyone's going to get excited about the dream that God may have given you in your life. And they may even try to kill the dream, discourage you. On the other side, let's be cautious not to kill other people's dreams. I know as parents, as grandparents, as uncles, as aunts, even as a friend, and we can hear something and we're like, no, there's no way that can take place. I think that we need to be very careful with the words that we say to other people when they're explaining that what God might be doing in their life. Another lesson here is that God often gives the dream before sometimes he develops the character. In the coming chapters, we're going to see that Joseph will go through some character development. And Joseph knew what God was going to do, but not how or when. And that's true for many of us, especially if you're graduating. God may show you a future long before you're ready to carry it. Which, as we keep on looking in this passage, especially in verses 20 to 24, the brothers plot to kill Joseph. But instead of killing them, they throw him into a pit, into a cistern. And verse 20 says, "Come, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. We can tell our father that a wild animal had eaten him, and then we'll see what becomes of his dreams." But Reuben heard of their scheme. He came to Joseph's rescue. Remember, Reuben is the oldest of the brothers. "Let's not kill him," he said. "Why should we shed any blood? Let's throw him into the empty cistern here in the wilderness, and then he'll die without our laying a hand on him." Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and to return him to his father. Verse 23, "So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing, and then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. And now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it." One minute, Joseph is dreaming. The next, he's afraid, screaming, "Get me out of here." He's staring up at the sky from a hole in the ground. That word rip, or your translation might be, say, stripped, it means to skin an animal, violently rip off. It's possible that he laid naked there in that cistern. The Hebrew word for through is normally used to dump a dead body into a grave. When it's used for a living person, it means to abandon to death. And so we see that here he is in this pit, afraid, and left out there to die. A pit, though, does not mean that the dream was wrong. Graduates and young people, just because your journey gets hard, don't give up. And I think for some of us, way past graduation, we need to remember that as well. And later on in life, you'll realize that sometimes when we go through the hardest times in our life, when we get thrown into a pit, that's when we tend to mature the most. That's when we learn to trust God the most. And yes, some dreams may not work out. We may have these dreams of how we think that life's going to go, but sometimes they don't always work out. Can I just encourage you? Don't give up. Just start developing some new dreams in life. As we look at verses 25 to 28, we're going to see that Joseph is betrayed and sold. It says, as they were eating, their brother was in the pit, and they see some Ishmaelite traders. And Judah suggests selling Joseph instead of killing him. In verse 26, it said, Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain by killing our brother? We have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. His brothers agreed. So Joseph is sold for 20 shekels of silver, betrayed by his own brothers, taken away as a slave, taken to Egypt. In life, we're going to face betrayal. Someone's going to hurt you, will betray a confidence, will cheat on you. And the question is, how will you respond? Some people respond with bitterness. Some people become revengeful. Some try to bury it until one day it eats them up and they end up having to deal with that hurt, that pain in their life. But could I encourage you to process the pain, process the emotions, grieve it, grieve the pain that you're going through, learn from it, make some decisions about how you will respond and how you will move forward. And this is a more healthy way. But I tend to work with I've worked with people in the past in ministry that they had a lot of bitterness because they never took the time to grieve. They never took the time to process the betrayal, the hurt, the pain. In verses 29 through 36, we're going to see the lie and the grief. It says, sometime later, starting in verse 29, Reuben returned to get Joseph out of the cistern, and he discovered that Joseph was missing. He tore his clothes in grief. And then he went back to his brothers and lamented, the boy is gone. What will I do now? Reuben grieves. Again, he's the firstborn son of Jacob by Leah. And Reuben was one that had tried to that talked his brothers out of murdering Joseph in the first place. And so we see that Reuben grieves here, but then Jacob grieves. Verse 31, it says, then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in his blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message. Look what we found. Doesn't this belong to your son? To your son. They didn't say our brother. Their father recognized it immediately. Yes, he said, it is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces. And then Jacob tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap, and he mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family had all tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. I will go to my grave mourning for my son, he would say, then he would weep. And see, sin never ends where it starts. It multiplies the pain. The chapter ends with this quiet line in verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianite traders arrived in Egypt, where they sold Joseph to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and Potiphar was the captain of the palace guard. And we'll see that Joseph's story plays out again in the coming weeks. Joseph is not abandoned, he's not forgotten, but he is relocated. And sometimes we are going to be disappointed in life. Graduates, you may not get into the college that you wanted to. You may not get the grade that you wanted to. You may not get the degree you thought you were going to get. You may decide that college is not the thing for you. And if you're a college graduate, you may not get the job that you thought that you were going to get, or the salary that you thought you were going to get. Money may be tight at times. Maybe you're not even in the place that you thought you were going to be. You might get relocated. Some of us that have lived some life, we've been relocated at times. But it doesn't mean that God has forgotten us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about us. We'll see throughout Joseph's life, God is still working, and I believe that God is still working in your life. So what does Genesis chapter 37 teach us? God's dreams often includes delays. And Joseph's dreams in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph's dreams in Genesis chapter 37, but he doesn't step into leadership until Genesis chapter 31. He's about the age of 30. And so we see that timeline between 17 to 30 that God ends up doing some character development with him. And so can I just encourage you to learn while you're in the waiting zone? Instead of complaining, learn a new skill. Look for opportunities to grow and mature. And secondly, faithfulness matters more than favor. Joseph's robe did not protect him. His character eventually would. God is more interested in who you're becoming than how fast you arrive. In the coming chapters, we're going to continue to see Joseph continue to develop his character. And some of you today, maybe you're just starting out in life and starting to figure out adulthood. Some of you have lived decades into this life. But all of us understand dreams and disappointments. If you're celebrating today, be humble and seek wisdom, trust God's timing. And if you're in the pit, you're not forgotten. This is not the end. God may be setting the stage for something that you can't see. And so Joseph's story reminds us that the dream that God gives is real, but the path there is rarely straight. And let me just give you just a couple of next steps today. Now, I want to encourage you to examine your heart. Where has jealousy taken root? Maybe some of us, we're like the brother. Maybe we're jealous of someone right now. Is there someone that you're resenting? And can I encourage you to be faithful in the pit? Don't despise the seasons that you're going through when it's tough. And then hold your dreams with humility. Not everyone needs to know your dream. Wisdom knows when to speak and when to wait.